to another episode of A Simple Life with Michael Jeffries. On this podcast, we attempt to let go of all the subtext and social barriers that hold us back. It isn't about being right or wrong. We're just trying to keep it real. This episode brings the count up to 13 episodes, as well as the one-year anniversary of the podcast. I want to take a minute to talk a little bit about the way I got our show, the show's sponsors, and how all that works. Full transparency, Lem's Shoes and Diaper Subscription Diapering Service have never expressed any desire to sponsor this podcast other than making affiliate links available for me to use. Really, anyone else who goes to the trouble to sign up for their affiliate program can be quote-unquote sponsored by them. I do like Lem's Shoes and Diaper Subscription Diapering Service and chose them specifically. I've used both extensively in my life and think they are exceptional and would recommend them money or not, sponsorship or not. And other podcasts do the same thing. And those who have been in the podcast business for a long time suggest it for new podcasters. So I'm not really doing anything out of the ordinary, but I wanted to talk about it here for my own sense of transparency with all of you. After all, one of my biggest themes in this podcast is vulnerability. As far as what I'll do with regards to sponsorship going forwards, I don't know. We'll figure it out in the future. And before we get into the episode, I really do want to take a little bit of time to talk about some more self-awareness I've been getting through listening back to this episode as I did the editing and prepared it for publishing it. And really, I've added to my list of things that I'm noticing about myself. In addition to a lot of ums and ahs, I do this click of my tongue every so often, this like thing. When I started this podcast, I had no idea how much self-awareness I would start getting about the way other people experience me. But I like it, and it fascinates me as the podcast turned the corner into its second year. Also, I'm learning that when I don't script everything out, I make mistakes in the words I use. I recently listened back to episode 8 and learned that I actually said some words when, in my mind, I thought I was saying other words. In this episode, I've realized that at least in a few places, I said sleep machine when I meant to say sleep test. I could go to all the trouble of re-recording the episode or figuring out like an editing technique to just re-record those sections, but at least for this time, I'm not going to do anything other than note it here. Maybe the overall lesson is that I should either accept that my audience may get really confused by me, or I should script things out when I do solo shows. Okay, with all that said, let's get into the episode. Okay, today is a solo show, and I'm going to talk about how I got a CPAP machine. I call it a sleep machine, and some lessons I've learned about that whole experience. When I was growing up, my dad snored really badly. Anytime we'd stay in a hotel, the whole family would stay in one hotel room. You know, a bunch of us would sleep on the floor. And then some people were lucky enough to get the bed. And any of those nights otherwise I wasn't sleeping in the same room as my dad. But he snored so loudly, and he still does. And come to find out, I snore very loudly. And some roommates told me that after high school. At different times in my life, I've had roommates. And then my wife told me that I snore. And At first it was like kind of jokey, and then she started to, as the years went on, like, hey, this is not cool. You snore really loudly. And then she started recommending that I get a sleep test. And I totally blew her off over and over and over and over and over again. My context was that my dad snored all growing up, and my mom never insisted that he get a sleep test. And, I rationalized that she's just being picky, she's being overly controlling, all these things that I told myself about, why would she want me to get a sleep test just because I snore? I never did any research on sleep tests or on CPAPs or on sleep apnea, which is the reason to get a sleep test or to get a CPAP or sleep machine. Well, a couple of things happened. Number one, I began working for a company that had health insurance benefits. It was the first company I'd ever worked for that I had health insurance through. So that was one thing that changed. Another thing that changed was that one of the people that worked at that company, he turned out to be a rival long term. And I was very insecure about him, and it was difficult for me to not be worried about him because we were in kind of a competitive relationship. And he was very good at his job. But before all that happened, I felt like he was a friend, and in many ways, I feel like that again. He's a great guy. He has his faults, just like everybody else. But anyways, besides getting health insurance, he did something very good for me. He mentioned that he had a sleep machine and he loved it. And that was really helpful for me to know because, he was another dude, worked at the same company as me in a very similar stage of life, and he had a sleep machine and he liked it. My impression of the sleep machine to that point was this, big, loud, scary looking suitcase sized thing that you pulled up next to your bed at night. And so anyways, now I had health insurance, and my a compatriot at work had shared that they have a sleep machine and it was great, and my wife still wanted me to do this. So hey, I did it. I scheduled a consultation with a sleep specialist through a local healthcare system, went down to the office and saw him, found out that a sleep machine consists only in extreme circumstances. I thought a sleep machine was when you go to some kind of clinic and you spend the night there, hooked up, all over the place with sensors on your body. And come to find out, that is only in extreme cases, especially in cases, especially when there's like certain health insurance requirements that some people's health insurance plans have for doing a sleep test that way. But really, sleep test I had was to take home this tiny little device that it had one of those clips on your finger to measure your heart rate, and there was a little it didn't really go in my nose, but this tiny little tube that kind of sat by the end of my nose, by my nostrils, to measure my breathing. So, and really, during the consultation, as soon as I said I snore, the sleep specialist was like, "Hey, you got health insurance benefits. Why not do a test? What's the worst that can happen? You don't have sleep apnea, and no big deal." So there was really no downside for me having this test. So I did the test, took the device back to the sleep specialist. We had a consultation, and he said, "Hey, we got the device. We got the test results back. You have what he described a mild case of sleep apnea, and you qualify for a sleep machine, a CPAP." So, I would recommend that you get it. Just try it. And if it improves your sleep, great. If it doesn't, no worries. So I said, yeah, sure. So he gave me a list of medical device suppliers in the area that had CPAP machines for sale. I went to one that was close to my house and told him I'd been prescribed this by my sleep specialist. They recommended a sleep machine, and we tried on a couple of different masks, found one that I liked, took it home. And the sleep specialist had said, hey, it might be weird for your body to adjust to this experience, so give it 2 weeks before you make a final decision on whether you wear it all the time or not. One of the things he explained to me was, a lot of people get this home and they use it for a night, don't like it, and then it just sits in their house and they never use it. So anyways, I took this machine home. I used it the first night. I woke up the next day, I felt good. Used it the second night, woke up the next day, felt better. Used it the third night, and I woke up the next day and I was like, this is definitely for me. I had such a good night's sleep. And I had no idea what good sleep was like. I don't know when bad sleep started in my life, but I can tell you by the time I got this sleep machine, the difference so stark. It's kind of I feel like it's kind of like the boiling frog effect, like it just got worse and worse and worse, or something, or it onset was gradual or whatever. But man, the sleep machine, number one, it's small. It's like the size of a radio, and it's got a tube that comes from it, and it's got this little strappy thing that goes around your head that's very comfortable, and then it's a little mouth or mask. And my mask only goes over my nose. There's other masks that go over your entire mouth, and there's different styles. But anyways, I've got mine, and it was a little bit of an adjustment to like have a hose and a mask hooked up to me, like as far as rolling over and stuff like that. Because sometimes as I go to sleep, I'll start on one side and then I'll flip to the other side if I'm not getting to sleep well. So, moving that around was a little bit of a getting used to that. It wasn't ever cumbersome, just getting used to that. And it was a little bit easier for me because I've always listened to something since I was a little kid, going to sleep at night, like a book on tape or a podcast or something like that. And since being married, my wife didn't like that. And so I would use little earbuds to listen to something at night. So I had already been kind of used to having something, having a cord or a hose, going from my body to something while I was sleeping. So I guess I had it a little bit easier. Anyways, the results, dude, the difference, I was so groggy and so sleep deprived versus the way I felt coming off of this sleep machine. And now, if I go camping or if I'm away from home and I didn't take my sleep machine, it is so noticeable to me the next day how groggy I am, how lethargic I am, how like there's like weight in me as I go about my day. Sometimes I have a headache, and with the sleep machine, I don't have any of that at all. And I really believe that getting that sleep machine has been a pivotal thing in my life. Number one, I had great sleep. And anybody you talk to will tell you in the health industry that good sleep is a really important thing to have to be a healthy human being and to feel good about life. And the sleep machine was actually a first step in getting healthy in a lot of ways. I could go on and on. Doing the whole 30 last summer, I don't know if I would have done that if I didn't have good sleep. Becoming a gym guy, another episode I've talked about. I don't know if I would have done that if I hadn't have been having good sleep. And there's a lot of other like headspace healthy stuff that have happened too. Like if I didn't have good sleep, I don't know how I could become self-aware enough to realize I had a lot of garbage in my life that needed to be taken care of. And actually, a lot more to get through. If I'm being completely honest, I guess we're all works in progress, but I'm really grateful. It has been life-changing. And the other thing about it is the sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is the disease where your body relaxes so much during sleep that your neck muscles relax to the point that they start to close up your airway, your air passage. And what happens when that air passage gets blocked is your body goes into survival mode, and a slight, not a huge burst, but a slight burst of adrenaline goes to your heart to wake your body back up enough to tense up those neck muscles to let your airway clear up. And this can happen several times a minute, tons of times every night. And one of the difficulties with the disease is it keeps you from having good sleep in the short term, yes, but it also does a huge amount it does a number on your heart. Because while sleep is supposed to be this restive, restorative time for your whole body, when you have sleep apnea, your heart during the entire night is getting shot with these tiny amounts of adrenaline. So how can it relax and sleep? Because adrenaline is what's used in our body to tell us there's danger. We need to be more alert. We need to run for our lives, that kind of thing. So how can our heart relax if that's what's happening to us? And there's been, from what I understand, I'm no healthcare professional, I'm no expert, but sleep apnea has really been linked to heart disease in the later years of someone's life because their heart is weakened from all this. The night after night, month after month, year after year of their heart not getting a true restful night's sleep. And so I'm in my 30s. So I don't know how, like I said, I don't know how many years I put my heart through that, but now I'm not. And I'm so grateful for that. And really that there's some lessons in there for me. Number one is, my wife was right. If nothing else, I should have done some research, at least looked into what getting a sleep test entails, what it costs. You know, even if I didn't have health insurance, how much does it cost? Even knowing that, what does it entail? What are the risks of going with untreated sleep apnea? Are there other ways to address the issue versus a CPAP, or otherwise known as a sleep machine? You know, a big lesson there is, if someone that loves me, that has no reason to give me bad advice, says something to me, at least take some action. I think a big reason I didn't take action was I've had this very unhelpful, really harmful and unhealthy outlook that my wife is got too high of standards for me and for herself, that she is trying to control me, that I can never do anything right, so why should I even try to take care of myself or be a better husband for her or do better in life because she'll never be satisfied anyways? Like, that is a very unhealthy mindset. And that's an extreme, like, that's in some things that totally, that extreme, hard to admit, but that sort of extreme mindset has been in me towards my wife, and I'm ashamed of that. That's, she has no reason to want anything but great things for me. So that has taught me a lot. It's a good lesson for me. If someone loves me and makes a suggestion like this, take it very, very seriously. And push aside any reasons as much as possible to discount their opinion, to think they're wrong, or to just dismiss it, like avoid dismissing it. Carve out time. That was another thing is, you know, we've had young children for a while now, and I just didn't feel like I had any time. I was working all the time, or I was taking care of things, doing chores, you know, and the truth is I didn't make the time. I had plenty of time to go out with friends and plenty of time to watch entertainments, and I did not make the time to do any investigation at all. Until, and this was another good lesson, is getting health insurance as much as we talk about health insurance politically in this country being something that we have a right to or don't have a right to, at the end of the day, it's a good thing for someone to have health insurance, in my opinion, to have health care. So if we can give it to everybody, then I think we should. And if there's one thing the current environment is telling me about the way finance and money works in the United States, how much money has been created to offset, you know, all the things that to bail out a bunch of companies when the housing crisis hit 2007, 2008, 2009, created a bunch of money, found the money there somehow. And then now with, you know, we're in the middle of 2020 with COVID-19, all the money that we somehow found to help businesses, help people boost their unemployment across the entire nation from the federal government. Like, it seems like in the country, we seem to be able to find money if we need to, if we believe we need to. And I don't know exactly how to do it. I'd like to figure it out. And I think we should at least be listening to the people who have good ideas about how to give healthcare to everybody. Because it's been a good thing in my life. A really good thing. And the last thing is, you know, having people share their experiences with me. That guy at work letting me into that intimacy, that vulnerability to let me know he has a sleep machine and he loves it. That was a really helpful thing for me to know, because it wasn't my wife. It wasn't anybody really that had anything to do with my life other than we spent time working together. That really had an effect on me, what he said, and it was a big part of the trigger that got me to at least try it, to see somebody. And I'm very grateful for that. Those are good lessons for me. I hope that I can be that friend in someone's life that is open and vulnerable and shares things that allow them to consider something that they didn't consider before, that helps them. You know, and in many ways, I think the sleep machine could have saved my life, could be saving my life. My grandfather on my dad's side died from a heart attack in his 60s. So, I don't know what my genes are. I've never had 23andMe or any of that stuff done, but it's in my family. Yeah, so that's the episode today. I have awesome sleep now. I use this sleep machine every single night. I very rarely, but I do, I've had it, I think, for 2 years, and I had to replace the mask recently. But the pieces don't wear out anytime, you know, don't wear out quickly. They will wear out eventually, but I'm a little bit frustrated with how expensive these things are. It's classified as a medical device, so they're overpriced, and I've found out that buying pieces and things online for replacement parts is way cheaper than buying them from like a brick and mortar medical device store. So I'm grateful for that. But yeah, so that's the episode today. How I went from terrible sleep and not even knowing it to great sleep, or at least way better. I don't know if there's better sleep out there, but what I've got is pretty awesome. And I'm so grateful to my wife, to the insurance that I was able to get through the company I used to work for, and to this man who was vulnerable and open with me. If any of you snore or have a spouse or anybody that said maybe try a sleep test, or if you're thinking about that, it's really not that difficult to do. The test is easy, and if nothing else, you'll find out that you have no issues. And if anybody says you could get a sleep, you should get a sleep test, then you could tell them, I did, and I'm fine. If not, if you do have something, you might be saving your life. So anyways, I'll leave it there. So before we wrap this up, as always, I'll reflect a little bit. I recorded this episode weeks before publishing it here, and I had plenty of time in between recording it and posting it to do the necessary editing and get it up. but I didn't. And as I reflect, I'm realizing why, or at least part of the reasons. Somewhere in the past few months, I've been getting off track with what this podcast is about. And at least part of it, I think, lies in the fact that I like, particularly like, episodes 11 and 12. And other people have too. Episode 11, so far, has had more listeners than any other episode, and it isn't even close. That might change in the future, but at this point, that is the case. And I don't feel as much like, I'm not as proud of this episode. I'm not sure why. I may start to like it more in the future. I don't know. But that is the reality of my feelings right now. And knowing, having this like tension in my mind, knowing I was releasing an episode I wasn't as excited about, affected my subconscious desire to press the publish button on this episode. And only in self-reflection do I understand all of this. Episodes 11 and 12, I think, started to make me think, oh, I need to make episodes that people will like and people will listen to. And it felt good to have so many listeners, you know, that gave me this dopamine rush, which is very common in the technological world that we live in today. And I wasn't honest with myself about that. I mean, during the past several weeks, I kept on thinking it was because I didn't have time or the proper inspiration wasn't there. My mindset wasn't in the right place or something like that. But at least a big part of the delay was this whole, you know, wanting to have listenership and how can I make this podcast really great and build on the success of 11 and 12 and all of that. So this reflecting, this whole, you know, self-awareness is teaching me that if I start doing this podcast for anything other than just the satisfaction that I'm doing what I believe I was made to do, what I feel is, you know, part of my purpose, what brings joy and goodness into my life. If I do it for other reasons, I will get off track. These thoughts of making money, of getting listenership, of, you know, finding that sort of success are distractions and will get in the way of me doing what I feel purposeful about. They are a hindrance, not a help. They may be a help for other people and be good for them as they build their listenership and obtain sponsors and all that type of stuff, but that is not helpful for me. So just a big cheers for me to get some more mental clarity back about what this podcast is about. And there we go. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please do consider sharing it and liking it and all the rest of that stuff. And so concludes the end of year one of A Simple Life with Michael Jeffries. We'll catch you later down the road.